This is CCTA Wake Up Call Radio Show for April 29th. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Radio Show for April 29th. Welcome. This is the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association Wake Up Call Radio Show. Thank you, folks, for joining us for the next hour or so. And I'd just like to hopefully we can have some fun and help with some information. And we're just here to try to enjoy your time and our time together. This evening, we'd like to just introduce the members of the CCTA board, the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, and the treasurer. I'm going to turn this over to the chair.
Hi, my name is Mary Griswold. I'm the chairman of the CCTA. CCTA stands for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We're an organization that supports lower taxes, free enterprise, and we try to help voters learn more about what is going on in their community and in their county and in their country so that they can make educated decisions in the voting board. And I got involved in CCTA probably about 2014, right after we moved here, because we discovered the organization lined up with our politics more than any political party. And I've learned a lot in my involvement. They've had book studies. They've had constitution courses. We've made trips to Raleigh to talk to our representatives and our senators. And it's been very much a learning experience. And I have really enjoyed being a member. And I would encourage you, if you're looking for a place where you can be involved, without a major commitment, but where you can learn things and help other people learn things. This is a great organization. This is a great place to start.
Excuse me. My name is Damon King. I am the vice chair of the CCTA. I came upon the CCTA by invite of a friend after visiting another organization. And I came to be a part of the CCTA by way of the topics that I was interested in and moving forward with the advancement of knowledge into the community about what's going on in not only in my community, but again, in this the entire state of North Carolina and as well as the United States of America. I'd like to be a participant and not just a sideline person when it comes to what's going on in our government. And I find that I had a lot of conversation and found a lot of answers there. Again, I came sometime in the earlier part of 2022, and it has been a one-year solid ride for me. I think I'll be here for a long time. And I appreciate having the opportunity to serve people and to be a part of the research and finding answers that will bring solutions to the everyday issues and things that concerns individuals, the people of the United States of America. I love this country, and I love the people of our community.
Good evening. I'm Nadine Buchanan. I am the secretary for CCTA. I came by way of invitation about a year and a half ago as well, and it has been, to copy the vice chairs, a wild ride. I very much enjoyed it so far. It has been an eye-opener for me because I think I came to it a little bit differently than some other individuals. I kind of came to the party late, but I'm here now. And so I say for anyone who's looking for truth, for answers, that this may be a good organization for them to get involved in. We go after the things that are important for our America. And I think that that's what we should continue to move forward on.
I'm Bob Griswold. I'm the treasurer. And by the way, we are the Griswolds, and my wife does have Cousin Eddie, but it's not the Cousin Eddie that you have seen. I just want to say, as the treasurer, I've been treasurer for the organization for, I don't know, maybe 6 years or so, and 5 or 6 years, and it's been a lot of fun. We've gone through areas where we had to essentially count the pencils before we could actually write, you know, do you really need the eraser on that pencil or whatever else? But we've also had other times we used to do gun shows. We used to be able to go to the gun shows and be able to show, I'm going to say, show the education of some of the homeschoolers. One of the nice outreaches was we used to have a little bucket of pocket knives, and we would ask the kids a question about how many branches of government are there, who was our first president, who was, a few other basic questions about our government. What is the name of our founding documents? And most of the time, the homeschoolers were really right up on that, and it was a lot of fun. Now, as the treasurer, I'm just trying to make sure that we, as a 501c3 organization, spend our money wisely, spend it on legitimate items, and I tried to help develop a budget for the organization. I think hopefully we've had a lot of fun. We've been involved in a number of different things, including one upcoming, Mary.
Well, this week, some of the members of our organization went up to Raleigh to talk to our representatives about a bill that is being proposed in the House of Representatives of North Carolina. And it is a pro-life bill. And we went up and talked to our representatives because the Republicans have promised for years that when they got the supermajority, they would put forth a pro-life bill. Well, we've been waiting a while, and it hasn't happened. Now, they did lose the supermajority for a while, but they have it back. So we went up there just to remind them what they had said in the past in the hopes that they might actually fulfill their campaign promise. That's part of what we do. A lot of times when an election is coming up, we will vet the candidates, put the information on our website so you can see what the candidate said when he was running for office, and you can compare it to what he does after he gets elected. Now, we have a list of issue priorities for this year. They are election integrity. We're supporting the House Judiciary and Weaponization Committee in Washington that's going to look at how our Justice Department has become very politicized.
It's become a weapon. It's well beyond its founding purposes.
Mm-hmm. Well, evidently, the Justice Department wasn't originally in the Constitution. I don't know. I'd have to look at it more closely, but it seems like that was something that was added later on, as was the Department of Education, which is a whole other problem. We're also, one of our issues is the debt ceiling. We don't want it raised. We want spending cut. We want to see the Congress protect America's sovereignty because the World Health Organization is making some plans to take that away. We're very concerned about
it. Wait. Stop on that one for a minute. What do you mean by they're planning on taking it away?
There's a whole treaty that the World Health Organization is working on that, in case of pandemic, as we just went through, they would be in control.
Well,
would not be.
Now, is it the World Health Organization, or is this the globalization of government?
It's one aspect of it. It's related. We are also involved in our public schools, particularly locally, and we'll get back to that in a second. We support fossil fuel development in America, drill baby drill, and we want our borders closed. Those are our major issues. And I want to go back to the school issue for a minute. On Monday night, my husband and I and a lot of other taxpayers attended a meeting, a special school board meeting, Craven County. And it was about the budget, but there was also another article on the agenda The other article on the agenda, and it wasn't, details weren't listed. The agenda was just J.T. Barber Elementary. I had no idea walking in what that was about. Well, there was an article in the, what is it, WITN.com that covered that meeting. And the article says, Monday night, the Craven County Board of Education met to discuss the potential of converting J.T. Barber Elementary School into a school for pre-K students only or a school solely for pre-K and kindergarten students. Now, what that article doesn't mention is they had a plan to put in a whole health center and everything else, a literacy center for parents, the whole thing. They were going, it was not going to be just a school. It was going to be a whole government program center. They are having a public meeting on Wednesday, May 3rd at the school at 6 p.m. And I strongly recommend that people attend that. J.T. Barber is a failing school, and that does have to be dealt with. They are losing students, and they are not fully staffed. Something has to change. I just don't think that bringing in a gigantic government program is the change we need. I think we really have to look at other options. But that is one area that many of our members have been to the meetings and have listened to the presentations and talked to some of the board meetings members about what they believe and what they want to see happen. But the bottom line here is we have a failing school. We need to do something about it because the kids in that school are not getting educated.
You know, and along with that, they're not getting educated. And the real thing is, what do you do to make it better? Do you add more programs or what do you do? Folks, I think we're going to take a quick break right now to hear from some of our sponsors. We ask you to go and visit our sponsors and just tell them thank you for supporting this show and thank you for being there.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Damon, you want to chime in?
Absolutely. I have a little perspective about what's going on with the school. I'm all about education. I used to be an educator myself, and I think it is a precious thing. One of my heartbreaks is, of course, they try to remove the arts out of school so much, you know, music programs and those things that can really stretch and expand the cultural mindedness of a child. And it's a world of exploration because it's the creativity inside of the person. And not that I'm going to get real biblical on you, but when you start to cut the creativity within an individual, you began to cut out a part of God. Mm-hmm. This whole world started by him creating. And if we're created in the image and according to the likeness of God, then that means he expected us to be like him and to have behaviors like him. And one of those is the ability to explore, to imagine, and to create and to advance our lives. And so that kind of breaks my heart. But my bigger concern is foundationally, what I understand just talking throughout the community, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of parental involvement, not only in the school, but in the lives of the children. They need notes signed to go on field trips, and the parents won't sign them. They won't get involved in being a chaperone for some of these events and things that are going on. So where the home goes, so goes the community. Mm-hmm. And so we can get the foundation back. And I understand some of these things may be a little tough and challenging for maybe single parent homes that have, you know, that one parent is working an extensive amount of hours. Nevertheless, those children are our future, and they are something worth investing in if we have to sacrifice something else.
You know, if we go back to our time, but you go back to the more traditional way of in this country, is the community was there. The parents were there to help raise the kid. If the parent was not there, the next door neighbor. I mean, I can remember getting booted by the next door neighbor because I didn't quite do exactly what I was supposed to do. But the parents were involved, and the neighbors were involved, and whatever else, and everybody really had involvement with the children in the neighborhood. Now, maybe I could go out and play ball until the streetlights came on or something to that effect. But I know that we had parents that were involved in what we were doing and keeping us sort of in line.
There's another aspect of that, too. Back in the days of dinosaurs, when we were in school, if you got in trouble in school, you were in trouble at home.
Absolutely.
The parent did not go in and yell at the teacher for disciplining the child.
Right.
That has been a change. Now, there's an article, excuse the shameless plug here, there's an article that will be up at Right Wing Granny tomorrow, interviews of various employers talking about the problems they're having with Generation Z. Mm-hmm. Generation Z does not understand office etiquette. Mm-hmm. And part of that, the feeling in the article is part of that is because they were cooped up for 2 years and working remote. Mm-hmm. So they kind of didn't get the idea of being part of the social construct of an office. Mm-hmm. Part of it is also that they've been taught to be very easily offended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but I've had jobs where I've just had to let things slide and just, you know, do my job and whatever.
Yes.
Gen Z is not willing to do that. They're very sensitive to the concept of social injustice and the patriarchy and all that stuff. And when you're in the workplace, those ideas are not necessarily relevant to what you're doing or useful. And I think what we're seeing with Gen Z is also a reflection on what has happened to our education system in the past 20 years. Now, Gen Z is the kids born between 1997 and I think it's a 20-year span, but I'm not sure how long the span goes. So these are the kids now that are 26, maybe. So they've been out of school for maybe 8 years, if that, mm-hmm. if they've gone to college, less. But they've grown up with this whole America is evil, there's a patriarchy and social injustice and the whole thing. They haven't necessarily been taught reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're also a generation that when there's been bullying, someone has tried to be a mediator mm-hmm. rather than deal with a bully, mm-hmm. yeah. which is another, I mean, that's another aspect of it. But I think with this school thing, they're talking about changing it to this hub, health and wellness literacy hub, and they would be busing the students from first grade up to other schools. If that is the case, then why not close the school down till you can get it right? And my alternative, evidently there is a strategy in North Carolina to close down a school. I am not aware of the details of it. But I wondered, this is a historic school. This is a historically significant school. Why not close it down as a school? If you want a literacy center, set it up as an annex of the New Bern Library. Set a couple of rooms as an annex. Set a couple of rooms as a children's history museum, talking about the history of the school. I'm thinking like the Beaufort Maritime Museum, which is very small but very educational. And do that and get RCS in there to work with you on literacy programs. You could probably get the Historical Society to work with you on the grant for the museum. And you could set up something that maybe children could learn even though it wasn't a school environment. You know, that might be a use for it also. I mean, if you're going to bus the kids elsewhere anywhere, anyway, mm-hmm. bus all of them.
I can see where that could be effective. I'd like to also see the community college get involved.
Yes.
Eventually, these young students or these children will end up that age and yes. having to go there. But, you know, here in Craven County, we have an amazing community college that gets involved with the Volk mm-hmm. Center and extending out to educational programs that don't involve a lot of cost, if any cost. There's a lot of assistance out here. We just need to be able to gather up the young people and have them take advantage of this. But I like to see the community college really give their perspective and some kind of involvement there too, because there are people there that are paid on staff to now reach out or have an outreach mm-hmm. into the community to help pull along the elementary schools, the junior highs or middle schools and the high schools.
And they're preparing people to be productive citizens.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you have parents that maybe don't know how to read, then set up a center where they can learn. We have a friend who, I don't know how he got through high school because he literally did not know how to read. And it was funny, we have a Bible study, and he joined our Bible. When he became a Christian, he wanted to read the Bible, and he taught himself how to read. And we have been watching over the past couple of years. It's been an amazing change. Somebody went from essentially being illiterate to reading his Bible and understanding what it says. He stumbles over words sometimes. He asks us what they mean. But wow, what a change.
Now, are we swimming against the current, swimming against the fish going the other way? I mean, the governments, plural, are trying to set up the welfare society, trying to set up that, you know, wherever there's a shortcoming, we'll cover that shortcoming, and that we as individuals are no longer allowed to fail. I think some of the very best lessons that I ever had was failing, and it sounds silly, but yeah, I needed that opportunity to fail and understand the cost of failure. And yes. Now there are many, many too many programs that are trying to cover up for taking a chance. I'm going to go back into history. I was dealing with Governor Noel of the state of Rhode Island. Full disclosure, we were up in Rhode Island for 10 years and Massachusetts for 35. But dealing with Governor Noel, and he was talking about the difference between private industry versus the public service, because way back, and I'm talking about the early 70s, the public service, it was generally lower pay, not as much stress, but a very good guarantee that you were going to be employed for a long time, life, whatever else, okay, as opposed to going into private industry where you had an opportunity to, quote, succeed or fail. The company might succeed, the company might fail. You might not be a good match. Bingo, you're out the door. So the difference between private industry, between public service, and that has sort of disappeared because now if we look around, especially around Washington, D.C., it doesn't matter if you fail. And in public service, you're never going to lose your job in D.C. And if you're a small businessman, they're going to shut you down to help keep some of the larger business/donors open.
One of the interesting aspects of the whole COVID pandemic and the shutdowns was evidently that was the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of America, because the small companies couldn't open and the Amazons and the big box stores were open, and the small companies went out of business and the big guys took over. And of course there was a running joke when they tried to close the churches that Lowe's was still open so we could all have our church service in aisle 9. But you know, it was just a little bit off. But I think what Damon said about bringing in the community college is a fantastic idea, because again, that might be kids, volunteer type kids, that would work with the parents who maybe wanted to learn. We had an experience years ago. We had a Russian woman and her daughter living with us, and she could speak English, but the mother could speak English, but she couldn't read it. And she was very frustrated that she couldn't help her daughter with her homework. She sat down with the paper every night and she taught herself how to read, you know, because she wanted to learn.
We were there, by the way. We didn't learn a single bit of Russian.
No, we didn't. We didn't learn anything. That was just the way it was.
Okay, folks, I think it's about time to take another break. We have to hear from our sponsors, and we appreciate your being on board and, again, listening. If you have comments, please just let us know.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Nicole.
Yes. And so one of the things that I want to talk about is the what brought me to back. I want to go back to the beginning, what brought me to CCTA. I was lulled to sleep for a long time with buying into propaganda, government propaganda, government lies. The government is here to help, and really they're not here to help per se. They want to get you in a position of where you need them all the time for everything. And I really started waking up more when I think COVID hit, mm-hmm. and the world started becoming where those demands of take the jab or else. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when it hits home personally like that, because I was in a position with my former employment that was what it's coming down to. And I think, okay, you're buying into lies and fear, giving into fear and all of this over someone who's been an employee with you for 20 years. That changed a lot. Started shifting my focus mm-hmm. of what the government is about and how easily we are swayed to just buy into what the news media has to say. And I think it's very important that we do research on the things that we hear and we formulate what is really out there for us, the best way that we should move forward in our own individual lives. As I said earlier, America is not what I grew up as. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a sense of community. You talked earlier about the neighbors. My next door neighbor was my babysitter. They were called aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
And they had just as much authority and right to discipline me as my parents did in the absence of my parents. And I think that sense of community and the lack of that has become the starting of the downfall of where we are now. That in our being, everything's got to be internet, everything's got to be on the computer, everything's mm-hmm. got to be on the cell phones. And I want to, one of the things that I am pleased to see with the little time I do watch television is I've started seeing some of the cell phone ads going to take 5 minutes, 5 minute timeout away from mm-hmm. all of that. And, so I think that we need to get back to a sense of community, turning back to our churches for the truth and biblical principles. And I know for me personally, exploring what the Bible has to say and using that as a foundation versus with coming to this organization and a couple of others and listening and researching. Wow, what a difference it makes mm-hmm. with where you need to move forward and how you have to stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not taking what you have to say for the truth, for the reality anymore, because that's not so. That's not my reality, and that's not here are the facts. So that's kind of what I'm a silent one. I'd love to talk. Trust me, I love to talk. I'm very passionate about things. But I also, at the same time, have been sitting back, like even tonight, I'm just sitting back and listening to you guys and absorbing it at all because I just want to learn as much as I can so that I can speak articulately when I'm out in the community and I have someone in my family, mm-hmm. friends, coworkers, whoever, that want to be on the attack. And I've actually lost contact with family that won't talk to mm-hmm. me because of COVID, because of my stance, because not taking the jab, because I go, hey, I don't want to hear what you've got to say because that's not true. So that's just my two cents.
Commenting on COVID, one of our daughters lost a job, and it sounds like your story too, because she didn't get the shot. And as far as the shot goes, we had COVID before there was a shot. And I just assumed God had a better handle on my immunity than Dr. Fauci. But I wonder if I hadn't had COVID, what I would have done. And there are people who have taken the shot who are fine mm-hmm. and whatever. But there are also people who have taken the shot and had some serious side effects. Mm-hmm. And I ran into a statistic recently that out of somebody told me that in the group of people that that person was dealing with, there were over 400 people who had come down with COVID. Only 15 of them had not had the shot. So the value of the shot is questionable, but yes, that was an eye-opener for a lot of people.
My life was always filled with being well-cultured with my parents. Born in a little city in New Brunswick, New Jersey. I was in museums and different places of art and stuff all the time. I wasn't a silver spoon kid, but my mom and dad just really understood the value of Damon, get out and search and explore and learn things for yourself. And so they were strong proponents of that. I mean, you know, living in New Brunswick, New Jersey, but I'd go to the zoo in Philadelphia, go to all the museums in Washington, and then travel a couple of times each year from New Jersey to North Carolina to visit family members. So being a concrete jungle baby, I learned how to come down south, visit North Carolina. Then we go ahead and drop down into Alabama, and I get to work the farm for a little bit as a 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old kid, and then swing on over to Jacksonville, Florida, and back up to New Jersey. So that was very well-rounded. Daddy born in Alabama, mom from New Jersey. So I had the best of both worlds. But the whole point of it was they allowed me the freedom to think, which is what this country is trying to take away from the people. So when I was in high school, as a freshman in high school, Ronald Reagan won the presidency. And from that point on, he was my favorite president. Now, because some of you cannot see, maybe all of you listening can't see what we look like. I'm a black man living in America. Ronald Reagan was my favorite president. At that time, I didn't have people looking at me real crazy. But when I tell people that nowadays, because of the racism propaganda trying to sprout its wings again, man, I'm looked at like, are you crazy? So I supported Ronald Reagan. And to this day, until Donald Trump became president, you know, Ronald Reagan was my favorite. Then Trump kind of slid him into second place. And I have no shame about it. Here's the deal. I research for the truth. I listen to some of my friends say they listen to this particular news broadcast from this particular news company and other friends that say they listen to this. I say, well, you know, if you want to know the truth, which will make you free, you need to go right to the horse's mouth. I said, YouTube is my favorite thing. So I can watch that individual on a video tell me exactly their lie or their truth. And based on what I'm seeing and feeling, you know, Donald Trump never did me any harm. I'm not giving a plug for Trump, but none of the Republican president officials ever did me any harm. I didn't have a black gas pump to go to with higher prices. My gas pump was the same as the white guy on the other side of the pump pumping his gas. So as a free thinker, Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite guys.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Just, you know, yes. And so I'm an advocate. I'm a friend of his. I feel like he's mentoring me sometimes from a distance. And when I look at that, those are the kind of black men. I'm not going to say African-American because, you know, there's white Africans in America, too, in case somebody didn't know that. You go to South Africa, there's a lot of them, and they live here too, so what are we going to label them? I'm not going to be under that label. My skin is brown, and I'm a black man. And when I see these kind of guys who can stand up, be free thinkers, and dig and research and know the truth, there's a place that, you know, I have to start digging and realizing that I have a direction I need to travel. One thing I don't appreciate is, you know, heavy mandates and trying to take away my freedoms that I was given by the Constitution of the United States of America.
You were ensured those freedoms. The freedoms were given by God.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
okay.
And so being a Christian, you know, I have to know the truth because I believe that the truth does make you free.
Amen.
And so that's where I stand. So my eyes have been open for a long time, and there was a couple of times I got lulled to sleep to kind of believe some of the things that weren't right, but I've always been one that run against the grain of the community at large that's been around me, and I'm okay with that. You know, there's individuals that are going to be leaders, and they're going to be a leader in doing the right thing. You have to be willing to accept the confrontation, then you have to be willing to approach the adversity head on. And I'm willing to approach that adversity head on if it even means my life, for the things to be done right and there's justice and honesty in the world that I live in. And so that's where I am.
It's interesting that you talked about New Brunswick. I grew up in Colonia.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you were 2 hours out of New York City.
Yeah.
And about an hour out of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Philly was our hangout spot.
Yeah. I used to be a liberal. I voted for George McGovern. And
who was that?
Don't do that.
Actually, let's fill in.
Was he George. Friends with Noah?
Let's fill
he
in.
He steered the ship.
Let's fill in on George McGovern, okay?
Oh, because, yeah. I will share a story about George McGovern. George McGovern ran for president against Richard Nixon.
No, I think.
Yeah, against Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon won 49 states. That's how well George McGovern did. And he had been a senator, and he was a very liberal senator. And after he got out of the Senate, he opened a business in Connecticut. It was a bed and breakfast or hotel, I don't remember which. And he went bankrupt in about 3 years. And he wrote an article for Forbes magazine. It's still on the internet. You can find it. Where he said if he had understood the impact of the laws he was supporting, that those laws would have on a small businessman or any businessman, he wouldn't have supported them.
Wow.
So he came to an awakening later in his life. But I was a liberal. I voted for George McGovern. And long about the first Gulf War, I would always listen to the military briefings of Norman Schwarzkopf. I don't know why. I just did. And I had a job where I could listen to the radio. And if I didn't turn the radio off, Rush Limbaugh came on next. And I got curious, and I started listening to Rush Limbaugh. And it took a while. And those were the days of the post office scandal and James Traficant making his speeches to an empty Congress. And there were a lot of interesting characters running around then. But I started listening, and he started making sense. And that was the beginning. And then when I became a Christian, I couldn't deal with the Democrat Party's pro-choice thing. I became pro-life. And that was a problem. And that was when I moved to Republican, and conservative just kind of happened along the way, because I'm being blunt here, the Republicans just let me down one too many times. And I was registered in North Carolina as an unaffiliated voter for a while, but I discovered that I couldn't work at the polls if I did that, so I registered as a Republican. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's funny talking about the various positions that we stand. Folks, we're getting ready to take a break, but the first thing that I'm going to ask you to do is go out and find the positions of your political party. What does your political party stand for? And then secondly, the people that have been elected, do they stand by those positions? That's a couple of things for you to be challenged with. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors again.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
I was born during Franklin Roosevelt's administration.
Wow.
So just to go back a little ways. And I, in fact, did campaign for Eisenhower mostly as an 11-year-old. I had campaigned prior to that also. But so I grew up more conservative, I guess, than I'm not going to say more conservative. I'm just going to say more Republican, I guess, because they're New York, as much as they wouldn't, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. In New York, when you could vote party line, the Republicans and the liberals carried the same candidates. The Democrats and the conservatives carried the other set of candidates. So it sounds crazy, but you could vote party line.
Well, that's where we got Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
Yeah, Daniel Patrick Moynihan was very, very conservative and was a Democrat. And yes, so they were. Mayor Lindsay was a Republican, and he was very, very liberal. And the involvement, the really great thing of Mayor Lindsay way back was again in. In 1968, I happened to be in the Navy, and we were just down in Memphis. Actually, when Martin Luther King was shot down there, and we were heading back to New York, and I had worked in New York City for a few years prior to that, and we went back to the studio where I had worked a motion picture sound recording, and went back to that studio and met up with Freddie, a guy that I worked very closely with, and. He was a pastor up in Harlem, and he said that when Martin Luther King was shot, that Mayor Lindsay called the pastors up in Harlem and said, I want you to get your folks out there. I'm coming up with my limo, and we're all going to march together. And that is what kept New York City from burning. Many other major cities were burning.
Good,
but
right.
But the fact that people were allowed to express their emotion in a civilized manner.
Yes.
And it sounds crazy, but you're allowed to express your emotion and go.
He went up there, climbed on top of his limousine with a bullhorn instead of, you want to march, let's march, and led the march. Yeah. It was incredible.
Now, he was a horrible mayor, but that's a whole different story.
But he did save the city.
He saved the city, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, as I had been in the Navy, and then after we were out, and I think the funniest thing was in 1980 when I took our kids and we went out and we were door or mailbox to mailbox campaigning or house to house campaigning for Ronald Reagan with with literature that you're not allowed to put it in the mailbox, but we had. Flyers that we could hang on the side of the mailbox and all that stuff. But it was interesting to campaign with three young children and enthusiasm. So and now when we moved down here, yes, we've gotten involved in CCTA. I've gotten involved in some party politics. We've been up to Raleigh to campaign on certain issues. And again, earlier, just before this last break, I said, you folks please go out and investigate the positions of your party. There's a party platform. Then investigate the positions of your candidates, or your, not your candidates, but your elected officials. And if you do have candidates, I need you to go out and ask them, why should I vote for you? What positions do you take? And hold their feet to the fire. And just, as I said, I think we're in a situation where we're not going to see everything go the way that we want it to go, but we're in a situation where we're going to try to do everything that we can to keep the basis of our Constitution and our opinions are built based on our belief in God, our Bible, our Constitution. What the state constitution also? What else are your founding documents? Your individual founding documents. I hope it's not a Stephen King book or anything like that.
Yeah.
But please. What are your founding documents?
I just want to mention one particular issue here. I'm going to give everybody a heads up. I write Right Wing Granny. Because of that, I'm on the internet 3 or 4 hours a day doing research for the blog, and I just want to do a prediction now that I want you to pay attention to. We're having a debt ceiling debate right now. Am I correct?
Yes.
And the Republican House has passed a bill to cut spending in exchange for a slight raise of the debt ceiling. And I want you to listen to the words that are being said. We are probably, regardless of what happens, going to have at least a minor recession sometime in the next 3 or 4 months. The Democrats are already doing their talking points that if the Republicans don't raise the debt ceiling with no strings attached, they're going to cripple the economy and we're going to have a recession. This is how it works. When you know something is going to happen, you put the blame on the other people before it happens. Mm-hmm. And these are the talking points. Mm. So pay attention. This is something that, unfortunately, because of the reckless spending over the past 2 years, we're not going to avoid.
Right.
And with the petrodollar being
undermined.
Again, we're not going to avoid this. But watch the maneuvering that goes on for the responsibility. If you look behind the lines, it can be very entertaining.
Wow.
Very good. Yeah, so, okay, folks, now somebody's got to speak up. So,
well, I'm going to talk about an upcoming event that the CCTA is having on May 16th. We're having our Back the Blue Banquet.
Well, now, what does the Back the Blue Banquet do?
Well, normally we would have just a public meeting where we would recognize outstanding sheriff's office personnel and police department personnel from Carteret, Craven, and Pamlico counties, and from New Bern and Havelock. But this year we decided to do a banquet. It is a fundraiser for the CCTA, but we are putting together a booklet of signatures of people who support the police so they know they are supported. Our speaker is a man by the name of Chris Swiker, who is a former FBI Assistant Director of Investigations. He will be very enlightening. And to get tickets, you need to email me at rwg5718@yahoo.com. That's rwg5718@yahoo.com. Just send me an email saying, I want tickets and how many you want, and I will get back to you, I'll get your address, I'll deliver your tickets. And it should be a really great event. May 16th is a Tuesday night. The doors open at 5:30. Dinner will be served at about 6:30. And it's going to be a really neat event.
Now, one of the items in that is that the organization is going to be paying for the meals for the honorees and their families.
Yes.
And then it's funny that because that was happening, we've had individuals decide to come up and say, I'm going to pay for the police
for the
chief
sheriff,
or the sponsor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's been neat.
Yeah.
That's, we need to honor our law enforcement. They keep us safe and they work hard, and it's it's not the most, it's not a job that is always appreciated.
Well, no, you're not only honoring them, but honoring their family, because their family also is
serves, yes.
Serves and deals with the emotional impact on the individuals.
Yes.
Well, I definitely can appreciate the police, and I haven't always been on the better side of the law. So, and even at that, I'm like, okay, they had the right to pull me over. They had the right to chastise me the way they had to. And so as life went on, I never, never still disrespected or lost my love for law enforcement. I put myself in a position. I was the blame. I'm not going to blame a police officer for anything that occurred because I decided, you know, 110 was the best speed down the boulevard,
oh,
and not 35. So there's no excuse on their behalf. The excuse is mine. The problem was my problem. So we live in a society today that have started to teach their children that police are bad, but I always taught my babies, hey, listen, no matter what you've done, even when you've done wrong and they have to come down on you, they're still there to be your friend and to protect this community.
Yes.
Growing up on Long Island and Great Neck, and I remember Nassau County, 612,
gotcha.
Car 612, he was my best friend, and he was also willing to boot me in the butt.
That's right.
So I need to say that I appreciated that extra fathering.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one of the things that you brought up about the children not being taught to respect the police officers, I think something that caught my attention that I was just like, wow, I didn't stop and think about this, is I saw an advertisement recently for police officers, needed for hiring police officers, one of our local mm-hmm. police forces here in Craven County. And they listed the pay scale for starting out for these officers. And as I'm looking at it with, you know, just BLITS training, the associates, the bachelors, I'm looking at the BLITS and I'm looking at the associates and I'm going, wow, they're going to start out making less than what I make at the job where I sit behind a desk.
Yeah.
Do people not realize that law enforcement, they don't just sit behind a desk. They're willingly going...
Yeah,
into a job that puts their life at risk every moment they punch the clock for pay that a lot of us, especially in Carteret County, they make way less than what we do. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, people need to wake up and realize these folks are risking their lives to take care of us every day. And
that's
yes,
right.
There could be some bad apples because we all have bad apples everywhere. It's not just the majority far outweigh those
right.
bad apples.
That's right.
Yes.
And they're here to help. And all they want to do is help. They want to do their job. They want to go home to their wives, to their husbands, to their children. And so people need to put that in perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes me think about Pat Tillman.
Yeah.
He left the NFL.
Yes.
To go into the service, to fight in the military.
What mm-hmm. courage.
And within not weeks or days or whatever after he went in, he was dead.
Yes.
He sacrificed millions of dollars to go ahead and do that.
And, you know, as you're mentioning, the police officers, and they are required to make decisions in a very, very short period. There's nothing that they can think about. They can't sit back and negotiate and this, that, and making many of their decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to say that. Thank you, folks, for joining with us. We appreciate your time listening to us. And, we ask you to join us at CCTA meetings, join us for the banquet, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Pawn, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.